Now, the epistle appointed to be read for the first Sunday of Advent is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 13. Brethren, knowing the time that is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is past and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and impurities, not in contention and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 21. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations by reason of the confusion of the roaring of the sea and of the waves, men withering away for fear and expectation of what shall come upon the whole world. For the powers of heaven shall be moved, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and majesty. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand." And he spoke to them a similitude: "See the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth their fruit, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen, I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Words taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I would like to begin this morning, my dear people, by telling you a story which is a fictional story, but nonetheless, it was related and told by St. Bridget of Sweden. St. Bridget was canonized by Pope Boniface IX in the year 1391. St. Bridget is known for the extraordinary private revelations that she received from the Blessed Mother herself, and which revelations have been approved by the Church. But here is the story that she once told. One day, a traveler, being on his journey, came to a place where there was a fork in the road. One side of the fork led to a road that was straight and level. The other led to a road that was steep and rough. The traveler had been warned that he was not to be deceived by appearances. In other words, he was told that the road that was straight and level was actually very dangerous, for at the end of that road was a great pit into which he would fall into and die. But the road that was steep and rough was actually a good road, and at the end of it, he would find peace and happiness. There was as well another thing that the traveler was told, as St. Bridget writes. He was told that although the road that was level and straight would lead to one's death, nonetheless, if one stayed on that road, still just before the end, there was a little side path which led to the road that was steep and rough, and thus to happiness and peace. And so it was possible for someone to take the wrong road and to be saved from it just before reaching the abyss. For he could take the side path to the steep and the rough road and still safely arrive at the destination of happiness and peace. St. Bridget writes, "The traveler who came to that fork in the road After considering both roads, he decided to take the easy path. For he said to himself, I will take the straight and level road until I come to the little path, which I will then take to the steep and rough road. And thus I will have an easy journey until I approach the end. Then I will take the road that leads to the steep and rough road, and still I will have happiness and peace. And so he began to take the easy road. He walked along. He was so absorbed in the easy way of doing things, so absorbed in the pleasures of this road, that he missed the little side path that led to the other road. And before the traveler realized what was happening, he fell into the abyss of death. For he was so preoccupied with the beautiful sights and the pleasures of the straight and easy road, that in the end, it cost him his life. Now, today's epistle, as I said, is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. St. Paul writes, let us walk honestly, as in the day. And then he says, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and impurities, not in contention and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. The church places this epistle here at the first Sunday of Advent, which is the beginning of a new year in the church. And she does this because St. Paul gives us the fundamental, basic message of what we are to do and how we are to live our lives here. And that basic fundamental message of St. Paul is that we are to work by detaching ourselves from sin, we are to avoid the occasions of sin, and we are to practice Christian virtue. When he states, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, he means to practice virtue. And thus the apostle gives us the formula for a true Christian life, for a life of those who are followers of Christ. It involves refraining from sin and vice on the one hand and practicing virtue on the other. The entire season of Advent is a time of preparation. And the preparation, my dear friends, is the preparation to celebrate worthily the anniversary of Christ's birth at Bethlehem, and even as we prepare for his second coming at the end of the world, as the gospel mentions today. The 4 weeks of Advent are also symbolic of the 4,000 years the world awaited for the coming of the Redeemer. The church places this epistle of St. Paul to the Romans each year at the beginning of Advent to tell us how to prepare for a worthy celebration of the anniversary of Christ's birth at Bethlehem, and how to prepare for his coming at the end of the world. And the end of the world, my dear friends, is going to happen someday. But the church would also remind us that for each individual person, the end of the world comes for them at their death. For when one dies, the world has come to an end for them. And St. Paul gives us this formula today to prepare us for the worthy celebration of Christmas and for the coming of the end of the world for us. And that preparation, as I said, is to refrain from sin, to avoid the occasions of sin, and to practice Christian virtue. So Catholics who strive to break their attachments to sin, Catholics who make the sincere efforts to avoid the occasions of sin, and at the same time to practice Christian virtue, they are like the travelers who walk along the steep and rough road. But the steep and rough road symbolizes the cross. And yet that steep and rough road and the cross lead to eternal happiness. But those who do not strive to practice virtue, and those who are unwilling to break their attachments to sin and vice, they are like travelers who walk along the easy path that leads to everlasting torment and suffering. And how many, our divine Savior said in the Gospel of St. Matthew, go that way? He said, broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to eternal destruction. And many, he says, there are who take that way. But narrow is the way, he said, that leads to eternal life. And few, he said, there are who find that way. How tragic would it be if one who has the one true Catholic faith were deceived like the traveler in St. Bridget's little story. How tragic it would be to think one could take the easy road and then just before the end, get onto the side road and get on the true road to eternal happiness in heaven. Oh yes, my dear friends, it does sometimes happen that there are souls who are rescued, as it were, from the jaws of hell just before the end. That is what we call a miracle of grace that someone obtained for them. But I have to tell you that only a fool would live his life sinfully and depend on such a thing as, in the end, I will still make it. I'll be sorry in the end. Who among us who has the use of reason would willfully risk the loss of heaven in the hope of being saved at the very end? Sad to say, but in the history of the church, there are many who have tried to do this. Some of the early church historians tell us that there were many who would not receive the sacrament of baptism in the early church with the hope that they could live their lives out as they were, their pagan lives as they were, and in the very last moments of their life, they would be baptized and they would go straight to heaven. A number of historians give us examples of many who tried this, but most did not succeed. We must, my dear friends, as followers of Christ, we must walk the steep and the rough road. That is, we must walk the road of the cross as our Lord himself has showed us. And that means we must make the efforts to ever detach ourselves from the sinful things of the world, to shun the occasions of mortal sin, those persons or those things that are a danger, especially and a threat to our purity and chastity. And how we must all persevere in our efforts to practice a Christ-like virtue. It is sometimes very difficult, as you know, to practice virtue. What am I talking about here? I'm talking about to be charitable to those who are not charitable. To be patient when things don't go our way. When we don't get our way, we don't get what we want. When we are even inconvenienced, or to be kind to those who are unkind. To be humble, that is to truly acknowledge when we are wrong and mistaken. It can be difficult to do such things. But my dear friends, it is the only way which leads to everlasting happiness and peace. If there were another way to heaven, the eternal Son of God would not have become a man and to have been born in a stable, a cold, dark stable. He would not have lived a life of poverty and detachment and charity, humility, and meekness. He would not have borne that cross and had himself nailed to it if there were an easier way to get to heaven. But in his infinite wisdom, he knew this is the way. Since original sin had been committed by Adam and Eve and passed down to all their descendants, this was the only way. Let us then, as we begin this new year in the church, make that resolution, as St. Paul tells us in today's epistle, to put on our Lord Jesus Christ, that is to practice virtue. And when he says to cast aside the works of darkness, to refrain from sin, to shun those occasions of sin. And doing this, we are preparing for a worthy celebration of Christmas, even as we prepare for the coming of Christ at the end of this world or the end of our lives. Strive then to practice that Christ-like charity, to be kind to others, to be forgiving towards others, to make excuses for others who offend you. And that patience when things don't go according to your way, when things are difficult, when things are inconvenient, to turn your thoughts to Christ crucified and ask that grace to take up that cross, to follow him as he bore his cross for you. And let all practice that purity and chastity according to their states in life. All these virtues, they shone so brightly in the divine infant Christ in Bethlehem. And finally, for a worthy celebration of Advent, how we should pray each day to Our Lady and Saint Joseph, for they were the first ones to keep the first Advent. And they practiced the most heroic virtue in the face of the greatest trials and difficulties which were led up just moments before the birth of Christ. Ask them to prepare, to obtain for you the grace to prepare your hearts for the coming of Christ. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.